Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you get a new one popping up there tomorrow morning. But, you know, swing over there anytime just to check out what's going on. Of course, you know, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you were over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, come on, we know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three of those.
All right, Dan. Well, there's only really one kind of way to look at it, and I guess we got to say that last night your guy J.R. Smith really screwed the pooch, huh?
Did he, or was he doing it as he followed?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it was quite clear that he had no idea what the score was. And he thought Cleveland was winning, and he was going to dribble out the clock. And then when he kind of noticed everybody panicking, he realized they had to get a shot up. There's no guarantee he would have made the shot. I would like to think he was, because he was in the lane. But, you know, they're not used to shooting from those kind of positions anymore in the NBA. So, there's always a chance he could have missed. Obviously he's going to get all the heat for this. I don't know. Do you think he deserves that much, or how you feel about it?
Everyone knew he wasn't going to make a shot, especially over KD and them. He was waiting for a timeout. I don't know, but that was not verbatim, but that's pretty much what I heard his quote this morning is. So, of course, I didn't really see any of it. I will say this moment in NBA Finals history, well, will go down in history because it's producing a great moment. I don't know if you've seen any yet, but there's been a lot. So I've been having fun scrolling through and looking at all these things where they, you know, Photoshop LeBron and trying to block stuff. I don't, you just got to look them up. But it's honestly, for me, I think it's been entertaining. It's been fun. I'm glad he did it. One of my favorite memes I've seen today was LeBron sitting in the locker room on his phone, you know, with the words, can you trade J.R. Smith in the middle of the finals? It's been fun, but, you know, I mean, They could have won going into overtime. So, you know, is it all really his fault?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's going to get blamed because they went and got blown out, and he had an opportunity, you know, to win the game right there. And you know, I think it was just the fact that it was such a, you know, literally, I mean, he was within 5 feet of the basket. And I mean, the weird part is like this has actually happened before. Magic Johnson. Of all guys did this, I don't remember what year it was, but he dribbled out the clock with about 13 seconds on it, and the game went into overtime, and the Lakers ended up losing. So it's not the first time anything has happened, and, Magic Johnson went on to have a much better career than J.R. Smith has had. The biggest thing is I think no matter what happens now, we're going to get all the what ifs. You know, it's going to be, well, what if Cleveland would have won game one? So,
Yeah, what is it you always say? If the Bucks were candy enough,
we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Is that what it is? I try to remember that one. Like, I always screw it up.
Yep. So, yeah, you know, and I mean, that's just, you know, that's just what we're going to get. I mean, obviously, it didn't help them in any way, but it also isn't J.R. Smith's fault for the fact that they just got blown out in overtime. I mean, they got beat, you know, they ended up getting beat by double digits after it was a tie game. So, you know, while he's got to take, obviously, probably the majority of the blame, you know, you can't lay it all on him for them going out there and playing like crap in the, you know, in the overtime period. And, you know, I know before anybody else says it, yes, it was a block on LeBron. You know, don't give me the BS charge stuff. It did, to be fair, it did look like a charge at full speed. But when they replayed it, you could clearly see it was a block. So they did get that one right. I believe the ref may have overreacted with the Tristan Thompson ejection, but I understood what he was going for there. While it was a cheap shot, I don't think it was as cheap as it could have been. But by getting rid of him, I think you stopped the game from turning into something that could have been really ugly. So, you know, while I don't, you know, like, I hope there's no repercussions on Thompson or anything, I think it was the right move by the ref to toss him. Because I think he was trying to actually elbow Livingston in the head and just missed.
Well, some guys are ballers and some guys are fighters. And obviously, he's a baller.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, kind of on that note, you know, Kevin Love is lucky. He, you know, he came off the bench during that little altercation there after Thompson got tossed. So he's lucky. He is supposed to be suspended by rule, but they're not going to suspend him. They came out today and said they will not suspend him. So he's catching a break there, and so are the Cavaliers. But that's just more part of the idea that I think the NBA wants to do everything they can to make this competitive. And you know, if you pull Love. Yeah, you know, it's just gonna be, you know, even more lopsided for, you know, Golden State.
Yeah, but they had, you know, and as you say, competitive. I think trying to give the Cavs an edge because they didn't have a problem falling out Steph Curry last year, or suspending Draymond Green for a game.
Oh no, you know, I know, you know, no, well, that was, I think Draymond was 2 years ago, but yeah, no, they, you know, they don't, you gotta, I mean, you know how this goes. They do what they need to do to suit their purposes. And right now what suits their purposes is to have Kevin Love play because it's only been one game. You know, I mean, if this was one of those situations where, you know, for some odd reason, Cleveland was up maybe 3-2, he would have been suspended.
There's
no doubt about that. So they could have gotten their game 7. But, you know, in a situation like this where it's just the start of the series, they're not going to do that to put, you know, Cleveland at, like we said, more of a disadvantage than what they appear to already be, because Golden State does look like the better team, even though they didn't really play like it last night. And you know, I think in the end, Cleveland's going to regret not being able to steal this one. So,
were there 1,000 posts about, you know, game one winners winning the finals, or what the stats on that?
Oh, you know, I didn't even look. So, you know, I'm sure there were. You know, those stats always pop up, but right now that stuff is so irrelevant. I mean, you know, I like the one more where it's not really a series till a home team loses a game. You know, because, I mean, basically all Golden State's going to do is hold serve. you know, I mean, we're one game into the series. We've got to wait till we actually kind of get rolling before, you know, before this kind of goes on. So we'll see. But what do they only give them one day off, or do you know once the next game, do they give them a week off, or how many days off do they get? Do you know off the top of your head?
I was actually going to ask you that, but I do know that the season will start next year around Halloween.
Oh. Well, let me see if I can.
Come on, the running joke. The running joke. Come on,
William,
Jack.
I thought you were being serious. So.
Well, you know, because you kept asking me last year.
Yeah, that's because I just couldn't remember for the life of me. So.
We do get the extra day.
They do get the extra day. You know, they played Thursday, so they get Friday and Saturday off, and then they don't play again now till Sunday. And then they get the extra day again as the series moves to Cleveland. So they play Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday before they actually only have one day off, and then they play next Friday. So, yeah, the series is quite spread out, and it's going to go, you know, if the ratings are good, it's going to go quite a few games, I'm sure. You know, I assume that it was probably Warriors in five, but if we get a good series, we may get six or seven, depending on how, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network and the NBA can kind of finagle it to work things out. And, yes, I'm not kidding. We all know this is rigged. They stretch these out to get the best ratings and the best games they can get. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. So,
well, you know, and it's funny because, you know, there might be some people that think it's just us, but this is not an Sports Time Radio thing. You know, this morning on my 5-minute drive to the train, because I didn't have to take my daughter anywhere this morning, I was listening to the local guys this morning, and you know, one guy was, you know, he's one of the basketball guys, and their update guy came on, and he's like, I don't even know why you guys are wasting your time. You know, this is all fixed. We're going to see seven games. You know, he really, you know, he's like, I'm not even going to say anymore. And then he went into his update. But, you know, I mean, it's just, it's like, it's such a joke now. And I think that's why I haven't even tuned in, but, you know, stretching it out. I mean, do they coincide the series to start, you know, so that kids are out of school? Is that part of it? And then, you know, obviously they're not trying to, I don't know if it's just, you know, like you said, the best ratings possible, but are they really trying not to run the same day as the NHL finals or the Stanley Cup? Because it has a real name.
I don't think they care about the NHL just for the fact that it's looked at as, you know, the fourth of the four sports and way distant fourth. So, you know, I don't think that's an issue. You know, it's scheduled for TV purposes. You know, whatever they want, they're going to get. You know, so if they want the extra day off, they get the extra day off. You know, maybe, you know, I'm sure they believe that Sunday night is a better rating than Friday night because obviously more people go out on a Friday night.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and with the weather turning nice, I mean, do you feel like Thursday night was a good night for, you know, because people like to technically go out, but they're not going out to party. They're going out to hang out at a bar, drink, eat some things, watching sports. And then Sunday night, they're not trying to do a whole lot because you got to go back to work Monday morning.
Yeah, you know, it kind of works out that way. I mean, obviously, you know, Thursday has always been a solid TV night. You know, some of the higher rated shows on television are actually on Thursday night. You know, there's a couple comedies that do really well. So, you know, it's not a bad night. You know, I think people are, you know, kind of used to, you know, oddly just being at home and watching, you know, TV anyways, because, you know, like you said, you got to get them to go to work on Friday. So, you know, it just kind of plays into what you do, or, you know, how your life goes. And obviously, you know, it's a big plus that, you know, kids are off school, you know, they get to, you know, they get to see these games as well. So, you know, we just got to.
Are they strictly running this on ABC, or is another CSN, the cable channel, actually?
You know, that I didn't see. I know, you know, what is it? TNT is, I believe, out of the mix when it comes to the finals. They don't pay enough money to actually get in and pay for the finals here. Let me see if they have networks listed here. No surprise, they are on ABC Sunday. The next three games, you know, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, they are on ABC. So, yeah, I'm guessing maybe all the games are on ABC.
Makes sense. Everybody gets to watch it.
So. So, yeah, you know, that was the fun start to the finals. You know, I mean, you know, at least you got a good game to start. So, you know, it was just a, one-off game that was close for a little while. And, you know, like I said, overtime got there, and that was kind of the end of all that stuff. So, you know, we shall see how it goes.
Now, I did bring up the Stanley Cup. Obviously, I wasn't here yesterday. I know you didn't stay up to watch all the excitement, but it was an exciting game. You know, you got one in your column now, both tied up 1-1 going into Saturday. But what did you think of Wednesday night's game? I mean, Ovi was on, you know, the Capitals were just on, and both these teams are fighters, man. I don't think you can get more I don't want to say brutal, but, you know, these guys are fighters, and I think that's what makes it even more exciting.
Yeah, well, you know, I did get to see the first period, and I was actually telling Stu yesterday, him and I talked about it a little bit, because he got to see, obviously, a little more of the game than I did. You know, I really thought Las Vegas dominated the first period. And I thought for sure when I got up to go to work that I was going to hear that they were up 2-1 in the series. I just really thought they were going to win. And I was quite surprised to find out that Washington found a way to pull it out. Then I was kind of like, oh, hey, wow. Okay. I'll take that. But yeah, I was very, very surprised to see a win there.
Are you more surprised because they were in Vegas?
No, it was just the way Las Vegas was playing. I mean, literally, it seemed like the puck spent the entire first period on the Washington end of the ice. You know what I mean? Obviously, I know it didn't. It was just 1-1 after the first period. But, man, it just seemed like every time you looked – Las Vegas was on the attack, and they were getting good looks at the net, and Holtby was making a good save here or there. I mean, he ended up having to make that great save late in the game, with the pad going all the way across. So, it was interesting, but yeah, I really thought, I was like, oh boy. You know, I'm going to be down 2-0. They're going to be digging themselves out of a hole. I'm really going to need it. So, yeah, to come up 1-1, I got to say I'm really happy, leaving Vegas 1-1. And hopefully, like I said about the other series, now Washington has the go and hold serve to, make sure that they, protect their home ice and, get a chance to close it out when they get back.
Yeah, but I don't know if you checked the replay. Did you see Brandon Holtby's huge save? I mean, fortunately, I forget who it was on Vegas if I didn't, lift it up. But, I mean, he was expecting the puck to come, I think, to the left side. And he just stuck that. I don't even know how he did it. He put that goalie stick down and just completely stopped almost a given goal. I mean, these two games, they've been super exciting to watch, and I can't wait for tomorrow night.
So, yeah, no, he was, you know, obviously he was huge for them, and, you know, you need that in, you know, these kind of games. You need your goalie to come up big. And, you know, he did in game two, and, you know, hopefully he can again in game three and, you know, four, or at least until they, you know, they win the cup in Washington for a change.
I think it'll actually be their first one if they do take it.
Yeah, I believe it is. So. So we'll, you know, we'll have to, you know, have to see how that goes. But yeah, I you know, I hope it's hope it turns out that it's Washington.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, you know, we'll you know, we'll see. But yeah, on the plus side, it's, you know, it's been enjoyable to watch. You know, I was a little. Well, I shouldn't say a little. I was really concerned when, you know, Kuznetsov went out, and he didn't play. I don't think he played, you know, in game two, and nobody's, you know, nobody's mentioned yet if he's going to play in game three. I think he's still questionable. So, you know, that it could be, you know, it could be a little rough with, you know, with him out, but hopefully they will overcome.
You heard what his injury is, right?
No, it's the NHL. So, <yeah.
laughs> I know. I was going to say it was just your upper body.
So, yeah, you know, they, you know, here, let's see if they updated anything on him here. Yeah, it doesn't look like they have anything new. It looked like a hand or a wrist or something like that. But, you know, now they're saying it's a potential head injury, and, you know, who knows? You know, and the NHL isn't going to release anything. So, you know, that could be tough. I mean, he's a big part of, that what they do on, you know, on offense. So, we'll have to see how it affects him, or if it affects him at all.
Yeah, well, you know, he did step on the ice for optional practice today.
Well, that's good. So I need, you know, I definitely need that.
But he has yet to be medically cleared to play, so he might be at game time.
Yeah. You know how that stuff goes, you know. So just the fun positives, or however you want to look at it. So I hate when they do this. They had an article that I thought would be interesting for us because it's pitchers to add, drop, or trade. But they don't really list the guys. They just kind of ramble on about different stuff. So whoever this dork is for Yahoo here, Michael, I'm guessing this is Salfino. You know, if you're going to write an article like this, put the frickin' list out so we can talk about the list instead of you just randomly throwing names out on these guys. Is it really that difficult to make a list? So... toolbox. Well, I hate these guys so much. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, and I was finally unmuted. So.
Oh, I didn't even realize you got muted. You must have did it to yourself. Huh?
No, I got the one from Blog Talk. So.
Oh, did you? Oh, I didn't do it. That was all random.
30 minutes later. At least they went through.
Yeah, it did take, you know, that did take a little while there to get that to roll out. But You know how it is. So, but sadly, you know, I put my lineup together last night for FanDuel, and it did not cash. Dan's guy Wei Ying Chin really let me down. He went out and just had a crap start. So, you know, if you can't get that good starting pitching, you got nothing. I did manage two home runs in Home Run Derby, both by Francisco Lindor, as Bryce Harper, of course, gave me nothing like he tends to do. And Chris Bryant, who Schaumburg Stusik suggested for me, did absolutely nothing as well. But, you know, as always, I'm back with Home Run Derby. I got Mike Trout, you know, loading it up right from the start. He's hitting second for the Angels tonight. Stick with Bryce Harper. He's hitting second for the Nationals tonight. And my third guy tonight, Dan, I'm plugging in with Matt Kemp hitting third for the Dodgers tonight. You know, I know Mookie Betts is still out of the Red Sox lineup, so who did you go with?
Dan, I went with Harper, Trout, and Martinez.
Okay. So you stayed with Red Sox. So. So, and yeah, and then I did do, you know, my regular lineup. It ended up, I was kind of surprised how it ended up because I kind of ended up with a, you know, multiple A's and multiple Brewers. And I was a little surprised by that, but that's kind of the way things are pointing. So hopefully this works out for me. Starting, you know, right at the top here, I spent a lot of money on Chris Sale, $11,000, hoping for a big payoff tonight. I know he's going against the Astros, but you know, I don't think Houston has any problems with striking out, so I'm hoping for some double-digit strikeouts and a Red Sox win. Obviously, that made it a little leaner down the line to spend cash here. So Matt Olson is my combination catcher first baseman. He's in fifth for the A's tonight, cost me $2,900. Staying with Oakland, I got Jed Lowry at second base. He's hitting third for them tonight, cost me $3,300. The one position player I spent money on was Jose Ramirez of the Indians. Cost me $5,100. He's hitting third for them tonight, so I need him to pay off big. This is where the Brewers start to come in, Dan. My shortstop is Orlando Arcia. He is hitting ninth for them, but he only cost me $2,900. My first outfielder is Hernan Perez of the Brewers, hitting seventh for them. Only cost me $2,100. And then I wrap it up, my third Brewer in a row, Dan, Domingo Santana, hitting sixth for them, cost me $2,800. My outfield wraps up with David Peralta of the Diamondbacks, cost me $3,000. He hits fifth for them. And then my utility guy is my third A, that's Matt Joyce, leading off for them, cost me $2,700. So that's what I'm entering in the 605 main tonight. So the quick recap, Chris Sale is my pitcher. Matt Olson is my catcher, first baseman. Jed Lowry at second. Jose Ramirez is at third. Orlando Arcia at short. My outfield is Hernan Perez, Domingo Santana, and David Peralta. And my utility guy is Matt Joyce. So there you go. We shall see if or how it works out for me. So, but yeah, you know, like I said, I suffered a loss. I actually missed cash in big time. I think I was about 30 some odd points for cash, and I scored 122 points. But yeah, I really liked your guys' matchup last night. I thought Wei Ying Chin against the Padres. You know, he could give me a solid start. He was only $6,200. I thought he could, you know, maybe give me some value. Yeah, no, he lasted an inning and two-thirds, gave up four runs, and only struck out four. So he was the definition of turd. So there you go. Dan's guy let me down. That's what happens when you take Dan's guys, folks. So don't take Dan's guys.
Yeah, I jumped off the Chen train once he – the two starts after he came back from the injury. Sadly, I think he's – got the, what is it, $20 million deal down in Miami?
So. Yes. No. Yeah, the guy to go with, you know, last night was probably Jose Quintana, or Quintana, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I just had such a, you know, a difficult time being sold on him, but I'm sure he probably went for 50 points. Maybe he got to 60. You know, ended up being a really good outing against the Mets. Oh no, here it is. He had 46. I thought he ended up with a little more than that, but you know, like I know Aaron Nola had 49. So there were a couple guys. I wasn't really thrilled with the matchups. The guy, of course, you needed to have was Francisco Lindor. He put up 59.65 points. He had two doubles, two homers, three runs scored, and four RBIs. So you probably needed Lindor in your lineup to make money last night. So.
Well, I'm hoping that I get a couple of dollars next week because I at least have a home run every day that I play this week.
Yeah, I do not. I don't have. I'm lucky to hit one a night, so to get two yesterday was fantastic. You know, that was worth the, you know, the excitement itself there. But you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, however things kind of roll out. But I do want to ask you here, Dan. Are you, you know, I guess maybe just more how you feel. Are you on board with this opener as they're describing it now? Because it looks like we've got two teams using it tonight. You know, Sergio Romo's getting what I believe is technically his fifth start for the Rays tonight. And then the Dodgers are going with Scott Alexander as the starter tonight in Colorado. He's normally a reliever, so they're only expecting, you know, an inning or two out of him. You know, this is one of those things that Brian Kenny jerks off about on MLB Tonight because he thinks it's one of the greatest inventions ever, where some of the other guys are kind of like, well, you know, it's really no difference. It's just the starter taking over in the second inning. Where are you kind of on this?
The fence? I mean, it doesn't really... To me, it doesn't count. You know what I mean? It doesn't count.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess what's weird to me is, like, you know, that second pitcher that comes in, you know, I mean, he just can he not be credited with a quality start? Because he didn't officially start the game. Somebody else did. So, like, you know, say the guy who comes in after Romo or Alexander tonight goes out and throws seven shutout innings, it's really just a seven-inning relief appearance, technically, right?
Technically, yeah.
You know, even though, you know, in reality, it could be a solid start, right?
Yeah, well, technically, it's early relief, not middle relief anymore. You know, baseball, and I don't know if that's a CBA thing, but now they're going to officially have to adjust their rules for, you know, scoring rules. You know, I mean, I get it. I don't know. You can still call Romo a starter, but I don't – he doesn't qualify for the win, does he?
No.
If they win?
No, because you got to pitch at least 5 innings as a starter to qualify for a win.
All right, I didn't know if they were making exceptions. So, I mean...
No.
It's kind of stupid. I don't know, it doesn't... You know, it's just kind of like Joe Madden is being... You know, it almost reminds me of The Matrix, you know? Well, I forgot what the bad guy, you know, the protagonist is called, or the antagonist is called in The Matrix.
Talking to the one guy, I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, the agents, you know, you see an agent, you run, well, they're able to multiply. And I feel like this Joe Madden disease is multiplying through Major League Baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, what was weird, and in one sense, I thought, okay, you know, this does make some sense because, you know, normally the top three hitters in the order are the team's best three hitters with the way they do it in baseball. So, you know, you bring in a quality reliever to shut these guys down in the first inning, and then you kind of move on. But then it's kind of like, well, you know, if you've got a good starting pitcher, he should be able to shut them down anyway. So I think it's more contempt for your rotation, because obviously, you know, like the Rays don't do this to Chris Archer. You know, Sergio Romo isn't pitching any one of a Chris Archer start. You know, like, I mean, Scott Alexander wouldn't be starting tonight for the Dodgers, you know, if Clayton Kershaw or, you know, Rich Hill or, God forbid, you know, somebody could get healthy. Really, I think the only reason he's going out there is because they had to scratch Alex Wood. So I just don't think they have anybody in line to make the start. So it's really just going to be a bullpen game for the Dodgers, and Alexander really isn't going to be an opener. He just happened to be the guy they picked to start the game.
You know, but I guess since you put it that way, you know, it's not something I'm going to get Brian Kenny excited about, but I think it does make sense if, you know, you've got a good closer slash setup man or, you know, something in that position like Romo, and, you know, the best three hitters allegedly are up to bat. What the hell? You know, because then, you know, if he gets those three guys out quick and you throw your starter in, now he's not going to, as long as he continues, he's not going to see them until the fourth inning.
Right.
You know, so you can scratch off that. You can kind of, you know, and it, what's dumb about it, though, is the whole theory that you got to take your pitcher out, your starting pitcher out before the third at bat. Third go around, because they're going to figure you out.
Yeah. Well, you know, unless your name is, you know, Scherzer or Sale or Verlander, yeah, or, you know, guys like, you know, those guys, you know, it's okay to, you know, let, you know, roll those guys out. You know, you could face Scherzer four times and not know what the hell's going to happen. You know, you could just easily go 0-for-4 with four strikeouts. But yeah, I've never, you know, they've really kind of ruined starting pitching through the years with just overmanaging it. You know, it just because, you know, everything is a red flag and you can't do this or you can't do that. And, you know, this, it, oh, God, he can't go through the order for a third time. Oh, God, no. They may actually hit the ball off him, even though, he's faced them twice and they have no runs and two hits, and one was a flare to the outfield, and, you know, the other one was a dribbler through the right side or whatever. But God forbid he sees them a third time, they'll be all over him. Oh, no. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and don't forget, you know, there's great pitchers who get taken out of the game in the fourth inning because the ball was on the ground, and sadly the guys playing the infield don't know how to play the infield anymore.
Yeah. That's because they're probably standing in the right field or something trying to field the ball.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean, because the defense isn't a focus. You know, a guy who's consistently supposed to be great at defense, now they're having him worry about knocking balls out of the park.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, that's all that matters. You know, your long throw, your swing plane, your home runs, and your exit velocity, Dan. Those are the only things that matter in baseball, right? Everything else is, you know. And I actually heard somebody kind of say that baseball has turned this way because teams don't pay guys to do other stuff in games. You know, they only pay for power.
I mean, you can see that, but Jason Hayward didn't get paid for power.
Yeah, no, not a prototypical power hitter, you know. So,
you know, and is it the team's fault, or is it the fact that the agents won't settle for less?
Yeah, well, that, and I think a lot has to do with, obviously, the way these guys are brought through systems. You know, I mean, they're clearly taught this. You know, I mean, I don't know if they start learning it at the high school level or the college level. Maybe I'll have to watch some of the College World Series and, you know, try to figure it out. I don't even know if it's still going on, but I'm sure I can catch the game on the Mickey Mouse Network because I think they show every one. So, yeah, I'll have to, you know, maybe go that route. But, yeah, you know, you know, I mean, yeah, the art of like literally just hitting the other way is gone almost. You know, there are very few guys who can still do it unless it's, you know, an accident. You know, and they catch the ball off the end of the bat and it happens to go the other way. You know, I mean, that's the humorous thing is, you know, I wonder, like, you know, like if there were guys, the guys in the game, you know, the guys you look back and you think are just perpetually great hitters, you know, you throw like the Ted Williams, the Stan Musial, you know, throw Tony Gwynn in there. You know, I wonder, like a guy like Rod Carew, if teams would even be interested in him now because he didn't really hit double-digit home runs. But, you know, I think he won, was it 7 batting titles? You know, ended up with over 3,000 hits. You know, I think he hit, you know, he hit 300 or more probably every year he played. I'd have to check his career to be sure, but if not, he was really close. But, you know, with the way the game is played today, you know, would they look at a guy like that, especially because he ended up being a first baseman? You know, he started his career as a second baseman, moved over to first because of some injuries. You know, he would be a laughing stock as a first baseman in today's game.
Well, you know, and you brought up the 300 hits. So, and obviously there's nobody in today's era that's going to get 300 hits because it doesn't matter. Well, I think it's possible because you're quote unquote best hitter is supposed to bat first. But you remember, and we talk about this all the time, you know, who's the Starlin Castro of your team? And that stems from the fact that, you know, he took all the blame, but it's kind of odd that before Theo's company, or maybe not so much Theo, but Joe Maddon then came in, they tried tweaking or doing whatever they could to Starlin Castro's bat, which, you know, he's not predominantly a home run hitter. Do you think maybe that had some sort of effect on it, that they tried to change his launch angle and exit velocity and all that crap before it became popular? So then he wasn't getting the 200 hits. Like he was,
and he had the worst. And he had the worst year of his career, so he went back to the old self. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Well, here, Dan. Interestingly, I found Rod Carew's playing card here on Baseball Reference. He debuted in 1967. He made the All-Star team every year from 1967 to 1984. The only year he didn't make it was his last year, 1985. And he's a 328 career hitter. So, but yeah, no, yeah, like you were saying, I mean, you know, they, you know, but in today's game, he only had 2 seasons where he hit 14 home runs. Otherwise, he was under 10 the rest of his career. But yeah, you know, like, you know, what's weird is, you know, you mentioned that, you know, they mess with Castro, and you know, he had the worst year of his career, and he still hit 284. But they tried to give him more power. He only hit 10 home runs. Or no, wait, here it is. Sorry, it was 265 when they tried to mess with him. And he hit 11 home runs. So it obviously didn't work for him.
And what is he doing now in Miami?
Right now he's hitting 286, and he has 3 homers through 55 games.
I mean, how many hits, though?
He has 61.
Wow. July. Wow. And we still have 4 months to go. 4 full months of baseball.
So, yeah, you know, if he stays healthy, you know, maybe he gets there. I know he's hitting in the middle of their order now, you know, 3rd or 4th, mm-hmm. sometimes 5th. So if he gets the at-bats, he may get there. You know, yeah, he had 207, you know, hits back in 2011. And then he had 283 the next year, and after that he hasn't been close. But he played more games than it was 158, 162, you know, so he had more opportunities. So, you know, if he gets the opportunities in the at-bats, you know, maybe he gets there again. But, yeah, it's
You know, because, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's so negative about a guy who's a solid defender. That's going to get you 200 plus hits.
Yeah, well, you know, oddly, you know, just looking at Dan, because it made me start to think of how many guys have 200 hits in their career. So, you know, the first guy I go to immediately, that who's the best player in baseball? Well, it's Mike Trout. We all know that.
Mike Trout.
He's never had a 200 career hit season. He had 190 back in 20. What year is that? Make sure I match up the numbers right here. 2013. But he's never reached that mark. Let me go with the next guy you and I, of course, would think of would be Bryce Harper. Let's see if Harper has had a 200-hit season in his career. No, he's another guy who has not had a 200-hit season. He had 172 hits the year he won the MVP in 2015. That's as close as he's gotten. So.
But they're supposed to be the best.
Right, and, you know, collectively, I mean, they're looked at as the two best players in baseball, and neither has had a 200-hit season. So, you know, you wonder how difficult it is to get there. So.
Well, you know, when you go 1-for-4, but you hit a three-run homer, everyone's excited, but you still went 1-for-4.
Yeah. So let me see if this will tip me off a little here recently. Where are we at? Oh, it's not in numerical order. That's not going to help me. So, yeah, I was just wondering if there was, you know, a list or a ranking or anything of, guys who get 200 hits, but, you know, I know Ichiro had it 10 years in a row, 200 hits or more.
Ichiro!
You know, and I mean, obviously, you know, some of the guys we mentioned, you know, Carew did it and Tony Gwynn did it, and, you know, those kind of guys did it, but, yeah, I don't know, you know, how that kind of works out, but yeah, you know, 2000 hits. Ichiro did it 10 times all in a row. Pete Rose did it 10 times in his career.
Oh, that's why he's mad.
Tony Gwynn did it 5. Believe it or not, Steve Garvey did it 6 times in his career. Only 2 switch hitters have done it, interestingly, Dan. Gary Templeton, he had 111 hits as a lefty and 100 as a righty back in 1979. And then the next year, Willie Wilson did it, 130 hits as a lefty and 100 as a righty. So they're the only 2 switch hitters. I
saw
his name on this list, I thought. Obviously, more recently, Jose Altuve has done it. Yeah, Kirby Puckett did it 5 times, 86 to 89, and then again 1992 with the Twins. So, But yeah, you know, the rest of the names on here, you know, they're the all-time greats guys you would expect. You know, Musial is on here. You know, Rogers, Hornsby. Derek Jeter's actually done it 8 times. You know, Lou Gehrig, Cobb, those kind of guys you would kind of expect to see on here. But yeah, otherwise, you know, yeah, there's not a ton of too many recent guys who did it. You know, Chase Utley did it back in 2006, but I don't even know, you know, did anybody do it last year? Off the top of my head, do you remember anybody? I'll have to see if I can check that here. Did Altuve make it last year, or did he fall a little short? I think he was a little short. And I didn't even mean that as a bad pun. I literally just meant I think he pulled up a little short of getting to 200 hits. That kind of escaped me there. I didn't really realize I was doing that. So yeah, that was really terrible. Just ridiculous. I can't believe I did that. And I didn't even play the rim shot because I was too busy trying to find the stat. So let's see what we can get from LSU again, and maybe we can maybe we got a guy who made it.
I can't believe that though. Nobody is getting 200 hits anymore. If you're
yeah, we actually
both best hitter is batting first and second, why are we not seeing that?
Yeah, we actually had four guys make it last year. Altuve did make it. Charlie Blackmon was the leader with 213. Altuve had 204. And then D. Gordon and Ender Inciarte had 201 last year. So, you know, I'm willing to bet nobody could have guessed all four of those. So.
No, you've got to wonder, though. I mean, either way, the trade didn't work out for Arizona or Atlanta, really. Well, I guess it did work out with Ender for Atlanta. But how much better do you think they would have been off had they still had Ender playing center and leading off for them?
Yeah, what's humorous is, you know, he was a throw-in in that deal.
Yeah.
You know, the big guys in that deal were Dansby Swanson and Aaron Blair. And by the way, the Braves just released Aaron Blair yesterday. So,
wow.
But yeah, you know, I mean, he, you know, Inciarte turned out to be, and the weird part is even like this year, there was the talk that the Braves weren't going to use him as a full-time guy. He seems to be one of these guys who's caught up in the fact that he's not a power hitter. And, I know he struggled a little. He got off to a rough start. I think he's up to 258 this year. But, you know, he's a 292 career hitter. And, yeah, you wonder if Arizona would have kept him and they'd have left him in center if maybe they could have moved A.J. Pollock to a corner spot and he would have stayed more healthy. So, you know, and Inciarte, he did hit 11 homers last year, Dan. So he did get the double digits.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just, I know everything in hindsight is always easier, but it just seemed like to me, I mean, Inciarte was a guy who I had picked up on my teams off the wire for a couple of years. And, you know, he was kind of like Didi Gregorius when he was with Arizona, oddly. You know, nobody had Didi on their radar when he was playing in Arizona. He was a guy that, you know, for me, you know, not just for me in general, but for our leagues, number one being a 20-team league, it's hard to find guys. And so when they're there, you know, you go after them. And, you know, he was one of the guys I went after. And, you know, now he's a guy that I can't even touch.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. I mean, you look back and, you know, let me see how old he is here. He's just 27.
Like 27?
You know, he's only in his fifth year. But, like, you know, in Arizona, you know, he got a chance to play, and he produced. You know, at the second year he was there, when he played more full-time, he hit .303. You know, he's always a stolen base threat. What's interesting is his career high is 22. He only has 18 this year in 55 games. So it looks like he's going to set a new personal high in stolen bases. So even though he's struggling a little with the bat, and he's hitting .258, but he's a career .292 hitter. So you think that's going to kind of even out a little bit, and he'll kind of get back up there. But, yeah, you know, you got to figure, I mean, he's looking at a 60 stolen base year, isn't he, with kind of the rate he's on?
Well, you know, and I mean, I don't know if you would call it protection, but also the youth game going down in Atlanta, and doesn't really matter what we do down here because we're not supposed to win kind of team. You think that helps them get the stolen bases?
You know, I don't know. The team's been playing real well. So, you know, you've got to figure everybody's kind of looking out for them. But I do have the most meaningless stat I can give you about Inciarte, Dan, that means something to me and, you know, you and I know Mr. Fantasy. He's never struck out 100 times in a season. So he got close last year at 94, but he's never struck out 100 times in a season. You know, I know it means nothing now, but I think it's important that guys put the ball in play, and he's kind of that guy. You know, he's putting the ball in play, he's getting his hit. You know, and those guys, you know, normally they lead to scoring runs. You know, he scored 93 runs last year. So, you know, isn't that what you wanted on top of the order? A guy who can get on base, steal a bag if you need it, and then score when, you know, your other guy singles, you know, someplace else, or scores from first when he doubles. Isn't that the guy you want at the top of your order? Unless you got Ben Zobrist, because then you put him at the top of your order, right? Because NCRT compares nothing to what Ben Zobrist can bring to the top of your lineup. So.
Well, no, that's because NCRT doesn't know how to play second, short, third, right.
Right. Left. Well, no, he can actually play right and left. He's played both right and left in his career, so he just can't play second, short, or third. So.
Yeah, you know. And he didn't play for the Rays,
interestingly, you know, the deal was, you know, NCRT went from Arizona to Atlanta with Aaron Blair and Dan Swanson, and Swanson was the number one pick. That's why it was such a big deal. Mm-hmm. The Diamondbacks got Gabe Spire and Shelby Miller. Now, remember, Miller was coming off a fantastic season, you know, when they made this trade, but he's went in the tank since he got to Arizona. You know, I know he's still hurt. He had a really good rehab start, so maybe they'll get something out of him. Swanson, I know he was so bad last year, they sent him back to the minors. He's having a better year this year. He's hitting .261 with 3 homers and 18 RBIs. And, you know, like I mentioned, they just released Blair. And he was supposed to be, you know, a big-time strikeout guy. I know you and I talked about it. I think I picked him up in 2016 for the starter team. Yeah, you know, hoping to land some numbers. Now, through his career, he made 16 starts with the Braves. 15 of them were in 2016. He's 2-8 with a 7.89 ERA. That covered 73 innings. In those 73 innings, Dan, he only struck out 49 guys. He wasn't even putting up the big strikeout totals they were talking about. So this is just another one of those guys that, you know, he was a top prospect that everybody, they missed on him. You know, they were wrong. He wasn't the guy that they thought he was. But nobody will ever admit that. You know, they're not, oh no, well, we had him as this or that or whatever, and you know, he should have been, and yeah, well, he wasn't. Sorry. Maybe he will be at his next stop.
Yeah. Where's Jonathan Mayo? We need to get him.
You know, I'd say he'd be coming to the Cubs, but he doesn't have any Red Sox blood in him. So he's, you know, he's kind of stuck going, you know, wherever he ends up. But, yeah, you know, it's weird how those things, you know, work out. I mean, they killed the Diamondbacks for making the trade. And really, you know, like we said, the best part of the trade was Ender. So, you know, and he was kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, well, and it still comes to the point where Arizona still lost that trade.
Yeah. And the thing is, Ender. I believe I'm going to be back at 10 a.m. Sunday morning with Mr. Fantasy. I've got a normal situation where you're just going to have to swing by and check. I can't really tell you yet today. Dan is going on Monday at 5:30. I know he will be here to co-host with me. While we're on there, you know the deal. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can hook Dan and I on Twitter as well if you'd like to do that. Like always, it's great that you come out and listen to us live. Dan, I really appreciate when you do that. But don't forget, time once at 2 in.com.
Roll out. Radio.